Ring around the rosy pocket full of posy, ashes to ashes, we all fall down. I love that song because it's brought a lot of joy to my family in the last few years because my 5-year-old daughter and 2-year-old son love to grab mommy and daddy and sing that song, go round and round again and again. Now, my 5-year-old likes to drop a little bit before us, and the 2-year-old likes to wait until we've all dropped and then drop later. But they both, when the song is complete, go again and again, and then we stand up, and again we sing together, "Ring Around the Rosy." It's a song, it's a practice that has brought incredible life and joy to my life. And so I find it troublingly ironic that potentially one of the origins of this song was during the Black Plague to teach children about the warning signs and the dangers of the plague itself. Ring around the rosy, there was a red mark that would have a ring around it, was the initial symptoms of the Black Plague. Pockets full of posy, posy an English word or way of saying pus. Ashes to ashes, meaning the bodies had to be burned to keep the disease, from the disease spreading some more. And then, of course, we all fall down was a metaphorical mentioning of just the massive amounts of death because of the Black Plague. So I'm struck that in this one song, we have abundant life, but also awareness of tremendous death or mortality. Today is Ash Wednesday. It's the day in our church year where we confront, acknowledge our life and our mortality. You see, you and I, we are mortal. And what that means is that we are finite. This earthly life that we live had a beginning and it will have an end. And in between those two moments, because we are finite, we will fail. There will be times where our efforts and energies will not be enough. And so failure is a part of our finiteness. Perhaps the recovery communities say it best in their first step, that there is powerlessness over certain aspects and that life itself has become unmanageable. At best, we are interdependent of one another. No person is an island. The fact that we sit here on pews that were made 100 years ago and we are wearing clothes that most likely were made thousands of miles away are just subtle hints that we do not live on our own accord. But if we take it a little deeper, the truth is that we're actually incredibly dependent. If the oxygen were to be snuffed out of this room or the sun were to go dark, our lives would last but minutes or days. And even beyond that, we are utterly dependent on the God that created and creates us. But this is the beginning of the good part. Because that God is a loving and everlasting God. And that loving and everlasting God has given us, mortal finite beings, the promise of eternal life. Now, you and I know the fullness of that promise in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but let's take a moment and look at the words from the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, that reflect this same deep love and comprehensive foreness that God has for His children. The book of Joel says, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing." The Jewish word here that we translate as return is the Jewish word shuv. And shuv is also translated as repent. So return or repent come from the word shuv. But in Jewish theology, the primary importance of the word shuv is it is the word that the prophets would cry out to those Jewish Israelites in exile in Babylonia and elsewhere. And they would say, shuv, come home. Come back to Jerusalem and to our God. Shuv was the way that they said, come home. And the word steadfast love here is very hard to translate into English. It's the Jewish word chesed. And chesed was passionate, devoted, single-minded focus that God had towards the Israelite people. The best way we could compare it to is almost jealousy. It's passionate and focused love on his children. And the psalm reflects the same embrace of coming home and passion for us as God's children when the psalmist writes, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him. As a father cares for his children, so does the Lord care for those who fear him. For he himself knows whereof we are made. He remembers that we are but dust." He knows we are mortal. And in his immortal, infinitive, all-loving self, he deeply desires to give us everything we could possibly need and more. But we've got some work to do first. So today, we participate in the imposition of ashes. This difficult and vital practice of remembering and embracing our mortality. Of recognizing that we are, in and of ourselves, are not enough. Now, the world around us is going to tell us the exact opposite. They're going to want us to think that we can do it all and be it all and accomplish it all, and we don't need anybody else. And gosh darn it, we will destroy our lives trying to do it all by ourselves. But that's not what we're here for. And so, in a few moments after the ashes, we will participate in the Eucharist. And this is the beautiful and blessed promise that with a loving God in Jesus, we are alive forever. And so this Lent season, starting with this Ash Wednesday, Jesus invites all of us to come home. Return to and surrender to the living God and to give up being our own gods. We have to allow in, to accept the fact that we are interdependent, dependent, and finite. And then we can embrace something that is bigger than us, that is beyond ourselves. We can open ourselves to God, to the love, grace, mercy, kindness, generosity, and benevolence that is the essence of God. Today we remember that we are dust, and we surrender to everlasting life.